Thank you. Yeah, thanks, guys. You can grab your chairs. It should be on, hopefully. Yeah, good, 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 good. Hey, how's everybody doing? I was determined not to let you make me cry this time. I don't know what you do to me when I come here. He's like, he had me emotional probably the last two times. I was like, what are you doing? She's supposed to come up here. And then you're like, but I did get a little moved tonight, and I want to make a point with this. Did you, who loved the worship? Like, thanks, guys. The songs, who caught the songs? They were just straight up all Jesus songs. Jesus, Jesus. Every song. And it kind of ramped up. I was getting a little undone. I remember when they hit about the middle song, I went, oh, I didn't know if I was going to be able to take much more. You heard me over there making noises, didn't you? I just hit my knees and went, oh, he's that good. I got really touched tonight. I was looking around. I saw Miss Pam sitting there. There's a lot of you. I saw Bill and Gail, and I just looked across. There's Dave and Lori, Rick. My goodness, Rick. Rick worked with me when I wasn't even saved. He was at work when I got born again, weren't you? Yeah. There's a lot of people. I saw Miss Vicky. She was out there. There's people I've known. There you are. There's people I could look this whole way and start spotting people that I've known probably all these years right here. And all of us, and Miss Peg, I saw Miss Peg come in. Where'd Miss Peg go? Where's Peggy at? I seen Peggy come in. Oh, Peggy, you just have a dear place in my heart. Like, you just do. I don't get to see you much, but you're just a trooper. You just, Jesus loves you. Like, you're an amazing woman. We see, what I was going to say is, and some of you don't even know what I'm referring to, like, some of us, we've all walked through things, guys. 25 years is a period of time. We've all been through things. We've been through trials. Some of our loved ones have struggled. We've lost significant people along the way, and we've all had trials. But watch this. Nothing about him has changed. Nothing about truth has changed. Nothing about why we're here has changed, and nothing about why he's in us has changed. And you have to be very careful that you don't let time change the truth, because there's enough people along the way that haven't continued on. There's people that have given up. We're aware of those stories. You know, sometimes we talk, we realize people have just thrown in the tower. Oh, I used to. And no, no, no. When I look around and I see folks, especially some of these faces tonight, I know firsthand, we've all been through our share of challenges and trials and struggles. Everybody has. But none of that has anything to do with who he is and how we're doing in him. And I'm going to talk about it straight up tonight. I hope you're all right. You all right about that? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Man, I remember when we had that accident, we was right on your corner, Bill, when we had that accident in that intersection. One of the accidents I talk about, right at Bill's house. Bill come running out. He said, Pastor Dan, I'll stand there in my beat up truck. Man, oh man. Michelle, if you could help me, Colossians. Can we do Colossians 2? And then we might go. I felt like I wanted to put some things up on the board. And let's just look at it together. I want to look at something. And then we'll go to Philippians 2 if we can. We'll try. We'll do our best. Oh, I like this. So we can all see it together, all right? So, yeah, let's just follow on the board. You got New King James? You got New King James? That's amazing. Colossians 2, let's start in verse 6. Let's just start in verse 6. Thank you. Okay, I want you guys to see this, and we're going to take our time with this. And then we're going to go to Philippians 2. The Lord just put this on my heart, Pastor. Philippians 2 is really dear to me. The Lord had me read it for 13 straight weeks and wouldn't let me read anywhere else. This makes me cry. How much he loves you. Like he said, I want you here. And I was hungry, man. I was devouring the word. I was reading the word no less than five times a day in that season. And he said, hey, Philippians 2, nowhere else till I tell you. And I was like, okay. You read your Bible five times in a day. About the third time you're sitting down, you're thinking, I guess I'm reading Philippians 2 again. Well, he spoke to my heart and he said, I don't want you to read it to memorize it. I want you to read it to become it. And he said, pray it out to me, meditate, and allow my grace to make what you're reading your heart and your life. And I said, okay. And I camped there for 13 weeks. And after 13 weeks, one day I opened my Bible and the Lord said, hey, read Philippians 3. And I wasn't like, woo, I graduated. I was like, okay. It was just exciting. Rick, I'm just thinking of you now. The first time I met you, early 2000s, at New Life for Girls baptism at my home church. Rick come walking up to me. I didn't even know Rick. Remember that? All them girls. Rick come up like Rick does. He's all soft, the tears in his eyes. He said, man, brother, he's crying. I saw years and years of chains breaking off as soon as they came out of the water. Remember that night? And I said, oh yeah, well now we're both crying. We're like, yeah. And we've known each other ever since. It's just fun, man, all these years. God hasn't changed. We've all been through stuff, guys, but he's amazing. So I want you to get this today. Are you all ready? As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? So this is a life. But don't just walk. Walk what? Uh-oh. Walk what? In him. You're going to see this phrase over and over and over. You've got to understand that your life is in him and his life is in you. Listen, you find purpose through him. You find your identity through him. You find your reason for being. You find your motivation. You find your encouragement, your zeal. It's through him. He's the one that was, is, and is to come. Nothing was made that wasn't made through him. Right? By his power, all things exist. We know he's the Lord, but yet he made us. I'm just going to say it this way. It works for me. In intimacy, in an intimate moment, he made us like in an intimate motive to be one with us, to know us, to live in us and live through us. He like made us to live in him. Are you with me? Come on, this is very important. This is different than just having a doctrinal statement. Living in him is different than having a theological paragraph over your ministry. Living in him is very intimate and very personal. You literally put him on. You literally understand who he is and that he wants to live in you and live through you. And as you've received him, how'd you receive him? How'd we all receive him? We received him by faith. The just shall live by faith. We're saved by faith through grace. How'd we receive him? By faith. Any man that comes to God must first believe that he is. Isn't that how we've received him? So how are we going to walk this out? In him, all these people I mentioned and all these things I know that we've been through. And some of us are going through things right now that are challenging that we wish they weren't there, but they are. And we have to have this revelation if we're going to run well and run to the end. Right. See, it's very important, guys, that we run to the end. So if we don't walk in him, we're actually full of purpose. We got purpose here. Paul says to run the race set before you. Run the race. Like we're in a race, we're on a journey, we have a mission. We're not saved for blessing. Guys, as much as I know we get excited about that's a way higher motive than God just filling our vats and barns and making our day go the way we hope. Because if you don't get a bigger motive, then you're dictated by your day, not the one that's in you. Are you all with me? I've been in this long enough. I've been in only 2 years longer than this sign right here. So I've been only saved 27 years. But I've been in full-time ministry that long. I'm a little different story. 2 years in. But in that amount of time, I've seen countless people lose their countenance, their disposition. Not evil people, guys, not hypocrites. People that got deceived and let their day dictate them. They weren't living in him. They were trying to get him to come into their day. Instead of them live in him. So their whole goal was just trying to get him to intervene into their circumstances. And then they grow weary and well-doing and even question his love for them and where was he and when's he going to move and why hasn't he answered my prayer? And in that place, you're very unsettled and very moved by the circumstance and situation. And it actually begins to be a very impersonal language with God that actually questions him instead of clings to him. I've seen it happen to a whole lot of people in that amount of time right there. And I've seen a lot of people grow weary in well-doing. I've seen a lot of people never grow up into him in all things. I've seen a lot of people say, well, I used to. Well, there was a time when. Well, you don't know what I've been. Well, you don't know what happened. Well, you don't know what. And I'm not being insensitive and mean. Listen, guys, we've all had our share of challenges. That's why I honored Miss Peg, because I was there through the season when she lost her husband many years ago. And every time I see that woman, she's the same. And that don't mean it wasn't hard, and that doesn't mean it didn't hurt, and that doesn't mean she don't still miss Dale. But man, you always the same. You're just amazing to me. Some people lose their husband and they give up on God. Some people lose somebody significant and they're done. That means you never came in and received Christ the way that was intended. You come into Him for your sake, not His great name. You got to come in for His sake, for His great name's sake. You cannot come into this thing for what He can do for you, but how He can make you more like Him so you can walk in Him. Are you with me? Come on, let's keep looking here. So as we've received Him by faith, we're going to walk in Him in faith. Watch this. See? Rooted and built up. Uh-oh. Slipping this phrase in twice already. Rooted and built up in. How you build up? In Him. Man, Ephesians 4 comes to mind. We have these giftings in the body of Christ for the equipping of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the building up or edifying of the body of Christ through the knowledge of the Son of God. So that we can grow up into the unity of faith and grow up into Him in all things to the full measure of the stature of Christ. Where's the building up? Where's the encouragement? The knowledge of the Son of God and growing up into Him in all things. That's where the edifying is. See, the edifying isn't circumstantial. The edifying is revelation. When you understand, I mean really understand who you are right now and why you are who you are, that's victory right there. That right there is like a finish line for your soul and emotions. That means that thing locks you in. That's why 27 years can go by and you talk about it with passion and zeal. Yeah. You get it? Yeah. We're going to be rooted and built up in who? Oh. Established in the, in faith or in the faith? Wow. I've talked about that plenty of times. Some of you have heard me talk about that. He puts this little word, the, in front of faith. It's very significant. It turns faith into a perspective. It turns faith into a mentality that we're all supposed to have. We're established in the faith. How do we resist the enemy? Standing steadfast in, not faith, in the faith. Romans, obedience to the faith. Striving together, Philippians 1, for the unity of the faith. We're supposed to strive together so we all see the same thing, agree it, and walk it. This thing is hardly about us in our personal day and situations. Come on, striving together for the unity of the faith. That means that we all see the same thing, that we're all pursuing that same goal. Now, we all have different callings, anointings, graces on our lives, different burnings and fires and hungers. The diversity in this room is immeasurable. But yet we're supposed to all see the same thing and do everything that we do for the same reason. Are you all with me? Yes. Striving together for the unity of the established in the faith. Here's what he's talking about. He's talking about in Him. He's talking about who we are now that He came. Now that He washed us clean and lives inside of us by the power of His Holy Spirit. He's the faith. He's talking about the identity that He gave me and the new purpose and motivation that I now have in life. So the enemy's seeking, looking who he can what? Devour. He's looking for loopholes. He's looking for weakness. He's looking for compromise. He's looking for self-centeredness. He's looking for vulnerability because then he'll know how to strike. And there's schemes of the devil. Paul says, Don't give him any place. Don't be unaware of his devices, and don't give him any place. There's wiles and schemes of the devil. He's roaming around. He's sneaking. He's just listening. He's looking. He's watching. He's behind the scenes sometimes. Yeah? He loves when you say stuff like, I just can't take anymore. Well, if that happens one more time, I'm just going to give up. He loves when he hears that stuff. Because then he realizes your eyes are off target. He realizes you're super vulnerable and you're punch drunk. And you're actually inviting adversity. And when adversity comes, because we're already punch drunk, then we say, why is God allowing this? Why is all these things happening now? And now we spiritualize it and put it on him instead of realizing we're a wide open target because of our lack of understanding. We're being destroyed. So in all you're getting, get understanding. That's why we teach. That's why passionate people get up here. Are you all good? We're established in the faith. The faith. See, here's the bottom line. We're all on this earth in Christ to walk in the light as he's in the light, to walk in love, to manifest him within your sphere of influence and among one another. We're here to live Christ. We're not here to live our lives for Christ. We're here to live our lives in Christ. There's a difference. Are you with me? And that's the unity of faith. That's the synergism. That's what makes us an army with locked arms that's rising up, that come hell or high water. That truth can never change. No matter who we lose, no matter if it seems like we lost, we can't lose unless we change why we're here and why he's in us. And if we turn inward and we pick up what we've called dead, it's the wrong resurrection. Scripturally, hasn't every one of us been required to deny ourselves so we can pick up our cross and only then follow Jesus? I mean, you might have come into a gospel that promised you all kinds of blessings and now you're going to go to heaven and there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain and that's why you came to Jesus. But I'm telling you, that's not why we come to Jesus. We come to Jesus to put off the old and put on the new. To be delivered from the power of Satan to the power of God so that we can walk in that light. So that we can now invest in the kingdom of God and into the hearts and souls of men so the sower can sow the word and God can build up his kingdom through men. Come on, it's why we're Christians. We're not Christians for a fair shake. You're not a Christian to just get a promotion on your job and get handpicked and get favor. You have favor. The Spirit of God lives in you. So that you can walk in love and make peace and show mercy and never grow weary in well-doing. Are you with me? Told you it was probably going to get intense. I'm trying to behave. I'll come over here with you all now. We've worked over there a lot. Built up and established in the faith. Uh-oh. As you have been. Well, I know you've been taught. You've been coming to Harvest Chapel. Do you realize I'm not being mean? You go to church your whole life and never be taught this. I'm not saying that in a wrong way. I'm just saying it's reality. Paul's assuming we're being taught some stuff. As you have taught, as you've been taught, he said, and as you know, and no, do you not know? And he says that we're holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight, if indeed we continue in the hope in which we have heard. There ain't a lot of people going to church hearing that they're holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. And Paul said you should have heard that. If you came to church, you should have heard you're holy, blameless, and above reproach because of the blood. That he washed you clean. He took off your old sin-stained stuff and he put on a robe of righteousness that he made himself to fit you perfect. You ought to put it on. And don't wear some false humility. Well, brother, I mean, we're not perfect. Nobody's talking about all that language. We're talking about you starting where he finished. And running well. And if you don't start where he finished, you won't run well. And you'll wear an identity that doesn't fit you. You wear something you'd never buy in a store and put it on. Why would you wear it spiritually? Because what that belief is producing in you doesn't look good on you, so it don't fit. Oh, you can tell what people are wearing by how they look. And I ain't just talking clothing. So you have to be taught this stuff. Uh-oh, and this is a big one. See, don't be in a hurry. Can you tell I'm not in a hurry? Abounding in it with what? Guess what the Lord showed me a long, long time ago? He tacked that little phrase on a lot of scriptures. And with thanksgiving and giving thanks. It's on a lot of scriptures. You know why? When you lose your thanksgiving, it's a warning sign and a barometer that you've turned inward and you've taken life personal. And you're putting on the identity of what you're being challenged with. And you've lost thanksgiving, which is always there when you're wearing him. Right. Ain't that something? He's talking about walking out our life, built up and established in the faith, as we've been taught, and abounding in it with thanksgiving. He's saying, no matter what, no matter how, no matter when, no matter what's going on in this course of time that you're seeing up here, thanksgiving is always me, because it always keeps your eyes on what I've done and who you are now in me. That's the faith. Did you ever notice what happens when we don't live the faith as a corporate union? And people get weary, they... Do you ever see how people just disappear? Do you ever have some people get quiet and start avoiding and they don't get back to you? And next thing you know, and you just know something. And then when you get a hold of them, it ain't good. Do you ever have people just, you can't even talk to them and they just kind of run from you? It's a conscience thing. It's a being moved from the faith. I talked about it at New Life for Girls this morning. It was fun this morning up there. My wife said, "Was that recorded?" She said, "That was the best ever." She said, "It was good, man. It felt like the gospel to me. Y'all should have been there. It was good." Mm-mm-mm. But as soon as Adam ate the fruit of the tree, they saw they were naked. As soon as they sinned, guess what they saw? Themselves. For the first time. Sin empowered them to see themselves. Ain't that something? They saw their physical state and it separated them from God. Now, I understand the legal aspect of sin and holy God. I get all that. But they were made completely opposite of who God is, but they were created for his image. And he's love, and now they're conscious of themselves. When he asked if he ate the tree, he couldn't even tell him the truth. That quick. That quick, everything just changed that quick. He's hiding, he's naked. God comes in the cool of the day. That must have been a normal thing. They heard the sound of the Lord walking. Oh my goodness, should be running to him. Yeah. Father, hey. They ran, covered in fig leaves, naked and ashamed. People disappear. That's why people go AWOL. They get sin conscious. They get out of the faith. You got to let him wash you clean, people. You got, sin makes you see yourself. Before sin, they're naked. They couldn't even see themselves. They were so innocent in God. It wasn't that his glory was so profuse you couldn't see the naked parts of their body. They didn't even know what that, they didn't see themselves. It's so powerful. But I tell you what, when he found them, he told them some repercussions that were coming, but he promised them the seeds coming. I don't have time to get into all of it, but most of you know the story. But right at the end of all that, he took off them fig leaves and he put animal skins on that he made with his own hands. What's he pointing to? The day Jesus would robe us with righteousness, with his own body and his own blood. And we wouldn't have to see ourselves anymore. Because every time they look at them fig leaves, what are they thinking of? The day they messed up, the day they missed it. Yeah? It's like the old preacher told me that time. He said, "You ever read where Adam and the boys were coming up over the hill and Abel looked down and said, 'Dad, that place is amazing. Look how beautiful it is. We ought to live there.'" And he said, "Well, we used to, son, but mom ate us out of house and home." I'm sorry, I'm in Harvest Chapel. Pastor's anointing. I'm sorry. It's not that bad when you do it, though. It's way better. You're way better. You're actually good when you do it. And ladies, if you know my heart, you know I ain't blaming it on Eve. It was just an old minister joke. In fact, Adam's the one that really messed up. Eve was deceived. It doesn't say Adam was. Abounding in it with what? Church, don't ever lose your thanksgiving. If you lose a loved one, he didn't say you don't grieve. He said you don't grieve as if you have no hope. He didn't say you don't grieve. Don't think you're weak if you grieve. You miss people that you love. They aren't there. You can't hug them. But that's the most we can lose is physical, natural time. And it's temporal. It's a wisp and a vapor. It's here today and going tomorrow. Come on, these years sound long, but it was quick. Right? It was quick. Come on. Quick. Abound in it with thanksgiving. Why? Because there's always a higher truth. There's life through Jesus Christ. For the Christian, I've preached it my whole Christian life. We already won, guys. We already won. We're not trying to win. We already won. When we just believe and understand, we already entered into life. And now we need to live it in Christ. Let's look at this next verse because this gets intense. Uh-oh, heavy language. Beware. That sounds intense. Beware. That might be, I don't even know where else that is in your Bible. Beware. Beware of dog. You go by the yard, you're wondering where he is, how big he is. Yeah, if you saw a beware dog sign, you saw the gate unlatched, you'd be like, shakarabakasa. You'd be like, so watch this. Beware. Least anyone. Could be Eve. Could be anyone. Doesn't mean they're evil. They might be deceived. They might not know any better. They might be just saying, well, now look, you got to use wisdom. They might just be scared for you. And now they're giving you advice because they're concerned. It might have nothing to do with the Spirit. But it sounds rational because they care for you. Oh, you be careful with this stuff. Watch. Beware. It's a strong word. Might as well preach it plain. Beware lest anyone would cheat you. That's heavy language. That means there's more. If you're getting robbed, you're getting cheated, that means there's more than what you're getting. There's more. You're being cheated. You have something entitled to you. You have something you could be walking in. You have something you could believe. You have something you could express. You have something you can receive. But because of what you believe, you're being cheated. Just think about the manifestation of Christ. Wonder if we're being cheated out of revealing him and manifesting him because we're making it more about us, how we feel, and what we're going through. Are you with me? Come on, I'm just reading it right off the wall. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, just the way men think, the sway of the world, the wisdom of the world, the mind of the world. According to these basic principles that are in the world, and not according to Christ. Guys, I don't know about you, but that's an extreme distinction. That first list, and according to Christ, extreme distinction. Ain't that something? But here's the paradox. We were trained in that whole first list. And it's all we knew from the time we were born till we met Christ. And some of us, it's all we knew after we met Christ because nobody really taught us different. Or we never renewed our mind. Sometimes we get tricked bringing him into our world. We incorporate Jesus into our old mindsets, our old motives, our old reasons for being. Sometimes we're just struggling, so we say, I need to call on the Lord. You come to Jesus hoping the struggle ends instead of your life transforms. Your marriage is in trouble. You just go to church hoping he heals your marriage instead of you become a man of God or a woman of God. People come to me my whole life in ministry. Hey, I need you to pray my spouse comes back. And I say, how about pray Christ gets formed in you. Because I can tell as insecure as they're acting, they ain't ready for no spouse to come back. They in idolatry already. Their tears is full of idolatry. And then why would God be so inclined just to make your day and like have a remote with your spouse's name on? What are we thinking? Like, why would God say yes to that prayer? Why is he inclined to bring them back to you? But I know he'd bring them back to him in you. So we just get you formed in Christ, and then God sees himself in you and says, oh man, they're ready to love. They're ready to be selfless. They're ready to show mercy. They're ready to make peace. And all of a sudden he inspires and moves like he moves. Gets the attention of that spouse, and that spouse recognizes change without the insecurity of, I've changed. Don't sell your fruit. Let people pick it. There's a lot of trucks pulled over with the bed down selling fruit. You better let somebody pick it. Just saying. Are y'all all right? Come on. Total distinction. Don't be conformed to the, but by the. So what brings transformation in our life? Thinking like you've never thought before. Living in him, putting on the kingdom, putting that whole first list away. Never thinking for yourself. Never just thinking for your own well-being. Never making a decision because of fear, worry, concern. You already laid down your life. You're trusting him. There's times your best friends, they'll think you're being unwise. But in your heart, you have no need. You're not showing off. You know, people will accuse you of spiritual pride. It's more than once I've been accused by leaders of spiritual pride in my life in certain situations. It's a tragic thing. You better be careful. What you're accusing and being presumptuous, we teach our children all these dramatic stories in the Bible when they're little. And then when you're old enough and need to believe it, you say you got to use wisdom. I'm just saying, we sow this amazing heritage into our children and VBS it up and we teach them all this stuff. And now they're old enough to believe what we've taught them, but we're in fear for them. And now we say, well, now you better use wisdom. Yeah, I know, but. You better beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. Now this is where it really, 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 it's already been good, but this is where it really gets good. For in who? Who are you living in? Where's your identity? Where's your acceptance? Where's your forgiveness? Where's your righteousness? Do you realize Colossians 1, you're holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight, if you believe it. It literally says, if you believe it and don't let anything change your mind. In his sight. Not theological, in his sight. Well, that should end all condemnation and shame. We should run to him. We should talk to him all the time.
You get it?
For in him, in who? Dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. Isn't it amazing that we can know the Father by seeing Jesus? That he's such a revelation of the Father that he's bold to say, how can you say, show you the Father? How can you say, show us the Father, Philip? Don't you know when you've seen me? You've already seen him. Now that same Jesus told us to follow him. And he's the revelation of the Father. And the Father made man for his image. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe in greater things because I go to my Father. He's the firstborn among. As he is, so are. Don't you let anybody cheat you out of this through philosophy and empty deceit, especially religion. Well, brother, well, nothing. I don't want you to stay bound, but you can stay bound if you choose. But I'm going to believe and I'm going to live in him. I'm going to live in him. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not going to let anyone cheat me out of this gospel. When I got saved, started reading this book, you don't even know what happened to me. I started reading this book, and I grew up in church. And I was like, what? Because I was hungry. I was crying, Pastor. I was like, God, you got to show me who you are. I was hugging my Bible on my chest in the room. I know you have a hard time seeing me all passionate like that, but ooh, I was like, I got to know you. And I'd read and go, and I was like, nobody ever told me this. Nobody ever told me this hands down stuff. You know what I started doing? Believing it, putting it on, taking old things off, putting on new. And I've been wearing the same old new thing for 27 years. Ain't wrinkled, ain't wearing out. Whoa, and the more I wear it, the more I look good in it. It was made for me. Why? Because in him, you better live in him. You can't, man. Oh, we'll get there. Okay, good. Holy Spirit, just help me. I was ready to preach something. He said, no. You should have heard that. That was fun. No, that was perfect. I was so excited. I was ready to get ahead of him. He said, no. He said, no, with passion. You wonder where I get it from. It ain't my fault. I'll blame the Lord all day long for in him. And then in that day, he's going to go. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Uh-oh, this is beautiful. Flip that verse. And you, who? Me. Who? Me. Is he talking to you? Are you part of you? Or are you like, well, I mean, that works for everybody else, brother. Or is he talking to you? Are you going to wrap faith around this right now? Do you see what it says? And you? And who? He's talking to you. Look, I know I'm being redundant. It's on purpose. Don't sidestep this. He's talking to you. Because I've watched too many people believe guilt, condemnation, insecurity, low esteem, worthlessness, what people think, what people don't think. I've watched too many people let everything that doesn't matter, matter. And I'm not being insensitive right now. I'm being emphatic because it's a lie. You. I'm going with the word on this one. You are. You what? Complete. Where? Then why would you see yourself anywhere but in him? Is there a time to be born? Were you born? Is he the author and giver of life? Are you alive? You must be his will. You must be his choice. I found a scripture that says nobody comes to the Father unless he's drawn. You have a heart for God? I wonder why he drew you. He must want you. He loves you and he must really like you. I was in a service a couple weeks back and this lady was leading in prayer and she said, Father, I just like you. I like you a lot. And I thought that sounded so beautiful. There's just something sweet about that. Ugh. We believe that lie. We say, well, I love them. I just don't have to like them. That's not the Lord, by the way. That's a cop out in your flesh. But anyway, you are what? Who's going to believe the word with me tonight? Who's just going to say yes and amen tonight? So are you lacking any good thing? So the just live by as you've received him. How'd you receive him? How are you going to walk him out? So I guess we're in this place where we just got to believe it. Why is that a gift? Because it saves you from sensuality and feelings and contrary emotions that we were all trained by. And it delivers you from those things when you believe. Faith is a gift. It's a gift, and every man has a measure. Why? Because it spares you from sensuality and feelings and emotions that are unredeemed, that aren't hinged on truth. Well, I just feel. Okay, how about changing what you believe? So see, if we don't change what we believe, then we're just praying to feel better. Just to feel better. So we think the answer is when God just waves over us, ooh, and I feel better. But if I don't believe different, I'm going to need to feel better again. It's not prayer, as important as prayer is, it's not ministry that makes you free. It's the truth. And he's a person. And you're in him.
That's just flat out good right there.
And who is he? You're complete in him. And who is he? He's the head of who? All principality and power. You see why he says, fear not, don't be afraid. You see why you have all authority over all the power of the enemy and nothing by any means shall harm you. So see, we think if we lose a loved one, it harmed us. How to get through? No, it harms you when you don't discern that and continue to wear Christ. So if you let these things take away Christ and you don't live in him, that's when you give away the victory. Are you with me? He said, I give you all authority over all the power of the enemy to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Oh, that's believe it, church. Can we do Philippians 2? In fact, we might have to back up because Philippians 2 starts with a therefore. That always gets me. We might have to back up to Philippians 1. Let's jump in at verse 27. Philippians 1 verse 27, and we'll scroll right down through. Oh, I like that. I wish we could just jump in there. See, therefore, if there's any consolation, but we got to know what the therefore is there for. Well, no, people do great injustice with the word. They just preach a scripture. There's things out there we call cults. You know what they did? They took four scriptures out of the Bible from different places, pieced them together to make them make a statement that they don't make when they're alone. But if you don't know the word and you read it, it makes total sense and it has a mesmerizing, blinding effect. So because people just listen to the word and don't study and show themselves approved and know the word, they just believe what they hear. Oh, it's a mesmerizing thing. I remember people in our church, they came to me crying, so sincere. We've been doing things wrong, Pastor. I said, we don't read this. And they handed me a pamphlet from one of these movements. And I said, I read it. And they said, see? And I'm like, I'm not going to see that. But I know the word. I'm not being arrogant. I just took a pen. And I just wrote out where all those scriptures came from. And then I quoted what they said in their place. And then I explained what was happening. And it was strange. The lady, peculiar. The lady went, oh, and snapped back too. And the man said, what? It was like I couldn't get through to him. And she was like, oh, and realized she was being deceived. But there's a pride thing there. There was some stuff going on, and I don't have to get into the rest of the story. I'm just telling you, these were leaders in ministry that read a pamphlet that was strategically written with the word out of context pieced together. And it had a mesmerizing effect when he read it. We're all wrong. To the point that they were saying we were all going to hell and everything. And I'm like, buddy, hell's been out of me for a long time. You know, I had a very real encounter with a demon spirit one time. And you know what was the most incredible remembering thing? That thing standing in my room had nothing to do with anything that was in me. That we were totally different. It was so powerful. I'm sorry. I might be out of order right now. Some people ain't ready for some of that stuff, but probably ought to just be ready. That thing's in my bedroom. And I said, what do you have to do with me and me with you? Not an ounce of fear. It was almost like, what are you doing in my room? I said, I've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Living in him. All authority in heaven and earth. Woo! It's not an arrogant thing, but you can be confident, and there's a difference. Arrogance and confidence, two different things. Don't mix them up. Only let your conduct. This thing is a race. We're on a journey. Our lives matter, guys. We're not saying this legalistically. It's just Paul. He's just talking. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that whether I'm coming to see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs. Uh-oh, that you stand fast in one spirit. Here it is. With one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's supposed to be this whole room. That should be our mission. To be like holding on to all believing this thing. Right? Come here, man. Real quick. Come on. I need you, buddy. Spin around. Now, I know he's a handsome man and I'm a handsome man, but watch this. You would never mix us up. Once we get to, you get to know us, you wouldn't call me him and him me. You wouldn't say, I always get you two mixed up. We don't look anything alike. But guess what? We can both look just like him. And that's what makes us one. We can both walk in love. We can both shine as a light. We can both live by the Spirit. And that's what makes us a body and an army that's rising up. And that's how he's going to cover the earth with his glory. Thank you. Make sense? Only let your conduct be worthy of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You can just roll with me. Uh-oh. And not in any way. How many ways? No way. Terrified by your adversaries, and it's not people. Which is to them a proof of their destruction. That's what that word means. But to you, evidence of your salvation, and that from God. Do you see the distinction? You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You love not your own life unto death. You've denied yourself. You've picked up your cross following Jesus. You're thinking first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And in no way in that place, no way are you terrified by your adversaries. Shoo! Next verse. I'm just going to go ahead and get born again tonight. Is it legal to just get born again? For to you. Uh-oh. See, this is stuff we miss. Nobody told you this when you got born again. But for you, it's been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. What that means is you're in a contrary world. You're in a world that's living in darkness, that's living for itself, and you're living for his image. So there's conflict. There's a suffering for his sake. It's not sickness. It's not disease. It's this clash. You're in the midst of a perverse generation. 2 Peter 1 says you have great and precious promises by which you partake of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through self-centered seeking. It's not a spiritual positional thing. In the world, not of the world, praise the Lord. What motivates me is different. What moves me is different. What I live for is different. What matters is different. We've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Ain't that something? To suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and you know what Paul's conflict looked like, and now here is in me. Oh, here we are. This chapter. Sorry, I'm a little emotional. Just God's been so good to me. He's been a father to me. For him to slip up to me when I'm reading my Bible and say, hey, read Philippians 2 till I tell you otherwise. It must be important. And I just take it personal. He's going to love me so much, slip up on me and say, hey, I see you're hungry. You're tearing up all kinds of stuff. Would you just camp here? Wonder if he, don't hear this wrong, not in the wrong phrase, take advantage. Wonder if he is capitalizing on my hunger. Isn't his eyes going to and fro across the earth seeking who's completely toward him so he can show himself strong? Wonder if I'm just in this place and it just excited him. He said, man, he'll utilize this. Psst, camp out in this chapter. Now I'm going to show you why this chapter is so amazing. And I feel convicted in the last couple of weeks that I haven't preached this enough. Because it's so humbling and powerful. Watch this. So therefore, because of everything we just read, that whole thing there, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, that consolation means encouragement. If there's any encouragement in Christ, if you have any consolation or encouragement in Christ, any comfort of love, any communion or union with the Spirit, any affection and mercy. This is Paul writing like a father. Watch this. Fulfill my joy. Huh, what's fulfilling his joy? When we all show up for church? When we're like-minded. What fulfills his joy? He said, I'm laboring over you like a woman given birth till Christ be formed in you. That's what he said in Galatians. Having this, being like-minded, having this same love, being of one accord, of what? Oh my, sounds like the faith, guys. Let's keep going. Let nothing, how much? Be done through selfish ambition. That's why it should never be offense in ministry. That's why there should never be fallouts on worship teams. That's why there should never be struggles amongst us. Because it's not selfish ambition, it's all for his namesake. We're seeking first the kingdom. But when you're not built up in him, you might need acknowledge, you might need accolade, you might be feeling insecure. And when they say that, it feeds the insecurity, but that's not the answer. That's like a fix. All of a sudden, you're serving in ministry to get appreciated. Oh, I've seen it happen. You're serving in ministry to get acknowledged. And now you're let down because they didn't appreciate all the time you gave. Well, it was supposed to be all unto the Lord and in the name of love for his sake. Who owes you anything when it's love? But now we got church folks offended because I laid down my life. I serve. But here's the paradox. When you're drawing from it, now you become the greatest servant ever. Because you're feeding there and everybody's acknowledging you and you're amazing and we wouldn't even make it without you. But you might not realize that inside they need that. Now, I'm not saying every great servant is like that. I'm saying I've seen this paradox. So what am I talking to? You personally. That you don't ever try to figure out somebody else's motive, but you just make sure you know yours. That you know what makes you tick. And that motive is untouchable because it's already paid in full. Are you with me? You're not trying to figure out somebody. Don't say, oh, I bet that's one of them people, Pastor Dan, or someone. No. We're not trying to figure out what's motivating other people. We're learning from it to make sure our hearts are pure. Are you with me? Let how much be done through selfish ambition? Just a little bit now and then? Nothing. Selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others, wow, better than himself. Next verse. Let each of you not only look out for your own interests, but also for the, wow, we are sure not in this thing just to get some kind of fair shake, are we? Now, this is what I don't think I've preached enough. I got a little convicted in the last week or two that this is so vital. Do you see what that says? What's that say? Uh-oh. Now, how revealing and intimate is this? What's scripture about to do? Show us what motivated Jesus, what worked in his mind and heart, what made him tick, what took him to the end. He's going to show us what motivated Jesus to go all the way. There was a mindset in Jesus, and he's saying, you ought to have this same one that was in him. Now, how humbling is that, that the Lord is saying, hey, what moved him can move you. What made him tick can make you tick. The way he thought, I want you to think. That's called renewing your mind, not conform to the world, but transform by the renewing. How are we going to do it? Through the truth. He's not our way. He's the. Yeah. I don't know about you, but when I started reading this for 13 weeks and I hit this and the Lord showed me what I was doing, I started realizing he's showing me the motive of the Lord. Like this is like opening up his heart and showing me what was in his heart and what motivated him. Let's read. You'll see. Who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. What did he just say? What he just said was, he knew he was God's son. He knew where he came from and where he's going. He knows God's his father. He knows nothing was made that wasn't made through him. But he wasn't looking to be acknowledged for that. He didn't come on some big white horse in some big hurrah. He came through a virgin girl. He had to put on flesh. He had to become a man to win back what man lost. He's on a mission. He had to come and serve and be humble and lay down his life. Come on. This is incredible. He was the son of God. It's not Robert recalled this. He's the son of God. Most of the time he called himself the son of man. The couple of times he did say he was God's son, that didn't go over good. Let's read. He made himself of what? Back up a minute. Uh-oh. You know how many people, I'm not pointing to anybody specific. We've just seen it happen. You know how many people seek reputation? They need acknowledged. They're pushing their name. They're pushing themselves. You got to be careful. You got to make sure none of that's in you. Because if you live by that, you're only as good as that's coming back. And if you're going to be secure by that, you'll be just as insecure by not getting that. So it makes you weak and vulnerable. And then you're always at the mercy of men. And I don't know if you found out that men aren't all that merciful or discerning at times. No, I'm not being mean. I'm being real. If you're resting your identity on men, that's why we live up and down. He made himself of what? So he didn't come. It just fascinates me that he lived for like 30 years on the earth as Mary and Joseph's son and didn't manifest, didn't minister. He's the son of God the whole time. Nothing was made that wasn't made through him. And he's hanging out in a boy's body, growing up, going through puberty, eating, going to the bathroom, having to sleep. I think about that. For 30 years, there wasn't no ta-da-da-da-da-da. No reputation. In fact, what gave him the reputation? His speech or the manifestation of his life? See? He started to speak and people perceived authority. He started to teach the word. He didn't teach himself. He taught the word. And then God started backing everything he said. And people started seeing all this stuff. And then they had to deal with it. And a lot of them said it was the devil. And who's he think he is? And he's Joseph's boy. And other people were all confused. And other people were like, maybe he's the one. You know? But it was his life, not his motive, that drew the attention. I don't know about you, but that speaks to me. He made himself of what? Taking the form of a bondservant and coming, I don't think I'll ever get over this, coming in the likeness of men. He's the Son of God. Nothing was made that wasn't made through him, and he let Holy Spirit plant him in the womb of Mary. Loves you and me so much, values our purpose and destiny so much. They said no matter what it costs, before the foundation of the world, I agreed to this. I'll go sit in her womb for 9 months. I'll come through her birth canal and I'll let her nurse me, change me, and take care of me till I step into that River Jordan. He must think a lot of what he intended man to be. And you preach that today and people call that heresy. You make a comment like that, they say, who do you think you are? I'm trying to tell you and show you scripture. The form of a bondservant coming in the likeness of, this is the same mind that was also in Christ Jesus. Next verse. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of even death on the cross. Do you see why he says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me? Do you see why he says it? Have this same. I mean, if you're in this thing for answered prayer and promises and blessings, you're going to make big mistakes. They should just come to you in your relationship. They'll just come. I wouldn't honestly encourage you to spend a whole lot of time on all that. God's just so profuse. He'll just bless folks. But I would be more in the arena saying, the Father's always with me because I always do what he asks. That's probably better. Then, Lord, give me a new job. And if you don't get the new job, you're wondering why he didn't give you the new job. Then you question, you know, something else. And that's the next thing you know, everything's in question. And you don't even have relationship. You have questions. Are y'all all right? Being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even what? Have this same mind in you that was also in him. Go ahead, verse 9. Therefore God stepped in, highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Go ahead. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven and earth and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is. For what reason? To the glory of God, the Father. Let this same mind be. Peter says, how's Peter say that? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he will lift you up. You'll find that when you really understand that, you're not humbling yourself so he lifts you up. You're humbling yourself because you have that same mind that was in Christ, and that's what love does. So you'll serve. You lay down, you'll say, you don't know who I am. You don't know how long I've been saved. Well, you know, yeah. I sit with people all the time on airplanes. I have so much fun in my life. People, I don't tell people, oh, I'm all over YouTube. I mean, that even wigs me out that I'm all over YouTube. It's a little weird when you're at an airport and somebody says, Pastor Dan. And I'm like, hey. You're going up the escalator and somebody's come down. Oh my gosh, I watch you all the time. God is really using you in my life. And I'm like, you're getting something to eat and they tap you on the shoulder, you turn around, they're like trembling. You're like, what are you trembling for? They're like, oh my gosh, it is you. And I'm like, yeah. Just me, and I'm hungry. You want lunch? They're like, it's a little weird. It's weird. Don't do that to me. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he'll lift you up. Do you see the same mind that was in Christ ought to be in us? Have this same mind in you that was also in him. Watch. If everything we just read about him wasn't who he is, would he ever made it to the cross? Would he ever endured the beating? Would he ever endured Pilate, the Sanhedrin? Would he ever laid on that thing and let him put the nails in his hands and the spikes in his feet? You ought to picture that too in your mind and understand that nobody took his life, right? I bet they were screaming and struggling with the little tiny bit of strength they had left. I bet there was tension in their arms, trying to keep their hands from opening. And there's Jesus, and they look over and he's laying there, waiting. It had to be that way. Because there's no way it could be said that they took his life. They're fighting to get them thieves on the cross. And when they get to Jesus, he's already laying there in position. Go ahead, boys. This is why I'm here. I heard a preacher say, there he was laying. And he said, run him in deep, boys. Phew. Have this in you. Let's keep on reading. Therefore, my beloved, as you, he just exalts Jesus to the highest place. Is that right? And then what's he do? Skips right to us and talks about us and shows us our place now in light of what he just said. Did you ever notice that he speaks to Jesus in the highest place? He does it several places, and he ramps Jesus up to exactly who he is, and he goes right to us or his church or you, my beloved. Because he's always trying to show us, look, we're one. I don't see you separate. Jesus comes up, Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Don't think that wasn't an intense moment. He just crushed death, hell, and the grave. He just destroyed the power of sin. He just made peace between God and man. And he just rose from the dead. And now he's with his disciples. He says, all authority. I don't think he was like, boy, that was really cool. Man, all authority's been given unto me. I think it was such a powerful moment. But he's like, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go, therefore, go in my name. What's he saying? Go, take me. Live in me, in him. He pronounces all the authority and then he gives it to the men. It says, now go in my name. Do what I accomplished. You get it? Watch this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence. This is right on the heels of have this same mind in you that was also in him. Then he defined that mind. Now he's talking to us. So work out your with fear and trembling. In other words, do whatever it takes to maintain that mind. Are you with me? Go ahead. For it is God who works in you. So see, this isn't impersonal. We're not praying to God out there to get something from him. This is a God that lives in here, that reveals himself through us. We're not praying out here for, even healing gets that way. Where are you? Well, I'm just trying to get my healing, brother. Just get him. Get him. You're going to find healing in him. Don't try to get healing apart from him, knowing him. There's a lot of people just trying to get the benefits of God. And it's impersonal. Get him. I was just in a service. God moved me this weekend. Just this weekend. Sleep disorders and people taking things to go to sleep and came on my heart to do it. We had just prayed for the sick and there was a bunch of people there. And I said, well, listen, I can tell you tonight. I got good news for you. I said, God just put this on my heart and it's 100% results when people respond. 100%. And I wasn't being pompous and arrogant. Look, it'll happen in this room if you'll take it to heart. In this room, it'll happen to anybody that fits this description. You can't sleep. You've got trouble sleeping, or you're taking something to sleep. You're not condemned for that. But tonight when you go home, you just take a thing and say, you know, I've been taking this and it seems like it's working. But you know, tonight, I'm just going to believe you for one reason. I know you love me. Or you'd have never sent your son. Thanks for loving me. And I'm going to sleep tonight because you're that good. Appreciate you. See, I found that people pray promises and don't even commune with him and talk to him personally. People quote scripture and don't even get intimate. I found this is scary to me, like in a concerning, like 90 some percent of Christians I've asked questions all my Christian life, 90 some percent have never acknowledged God loves them and initiated out of their heart in conversation with him, apart from a church service, a counseling or any, just driving in the car. Thanks for loving me. I so appreciate your love for me. Just in the bathroom, getting ready for work. I appreciate your love for me. So good that you love me. And then you can just grow that thing. Thanks for making me clean. Thanks for washing me. Thank you for filling me with who you are. Like, see, that's where intimacy is. Believing he loves you. Faith works through. No wonder so many people are hindered from believing and receiving his love. Do you have trouble sleeping? You go home tonight. Father, tonight I'm going to listen to what that zealous man said. And I'm going to believe you love me for one good reason. You put your son on that cross. And because you love me, you're going to help me to sleep tonight and empower me. And I'm not even going to do this thing tonight. I'm just doing you and your love. Thank you. Testimony. You should have heard the testimonies. We had people get healed of plantar fasciitis, healed of pain in the middle of the night. Things that came in the middle of the night that woke them up. They weren't even praying about that. They were just praying to sleep, but that was part of their disorder. So God just swept it clean. It was testimony after testimony. Pastor's phone in the morning blew up. And everybody from his church was saying, hey, man, I did exactly what Dan said. I did what Brother Dan. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. He was reading me testimonies in his living room with tears in his eyes. It's beautiful. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us. It's God who what? Works in you both what? To will and do for his good pleasure. Whew. Let's never forget that, guys. God's working in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. I'm just about done. I know I've been talking a while. It's only 8:04. We started at 6. Complaining and disputing? Do how many things? How many? Do all things with grumbling and complaining? Oh, without. How many things? Without and disputing. Why? Why in the world would I do that? Next verse. Oh my goodness. See, don't you even try. See, I'm going to be warily. Somebody try to cheat me and tell me that I can't live this way. See, I already covered Colossians 2. I already set it up. See, I see now what Holy Spirit did. Be warily, lest any man cheat you through empty deceit, principles of the world. When you read stuff like this, you know what people say? In leadership. Well, now, brother, I mean, he really didn't mean that because you couldn't really. And I mean, we all have our moments and everybody, and you know. No, let's read this. That you may become what? And what? Harmless means innocent. Children of God. Oh my goodness. Am I reading this right? What translation is this? What? Without. In the midst of a world that's living for herself. That's what it means. A crooked and twisted minded generation. Among whom you attend church service and do Bible study and do midweek church so you can endure them. Oops. Among whom you what? Why are we going to do all things without grumbling and complaining? So we can be seen as blameless, innocent children of God without fault in the eyes, really is what that means, of a crooked and twisted-minded generation who is self-centered and self-seeking. But we have this mind in us that was also in. Do you see why the Lord told me to stay here for 13 weeks? So that I never got tricked into just doing ministry, praying for the sick, words of knowledge, ooh, prophecy. You can't tell me this is impossible. He's not talking about perfection. He's talking about purity. You're saved by grace through faith. You are what you are by the grace of God. When you believe, the grace of God will make Scripture come alive in your life. Scripture will get fulfilled by the grace of God. But you have to have faith to believe what it says. Are you with me? Why are we going to do all things without grumbling and complaining? So we can become blameless, hardened. So what your life appears to be in the eyes of people that don't know him really, really matters. Wow. Among whom you shine as what? Lights in the world. And this will be the last verse and we can close. Holding fast what? Whoo! And look what Paul said. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ. That I haven't run in vain, haven't labored in vain. You know what he's saying? That I realize we just haven't had church service. But y'all actually became what he paid for and what I've been preaching. And in that day, I'm going to rejoice because you actually became what you heard. And we didn't just have church service. Ain't that something? Come on, would you give him a shout? Yeah, it's the truth. So you might want to get in that chapter by yourself and muse and meditate, but have the same mind in you that was what? Also in Christ Jesus. We talked about blameless. We talked about justified. We talked about righteous. Is it okay, Pastor? It's 8:08. Is it okay if we pray for the sick? We have time? Okay, good. I was hoping we have time. We should have time to pray for the sick. We do? Okay. Here's why we pray for the sick. We pray for the sick because we understand the forgiveness of sins. We don't just pray for the sick because they're sick. When we don't understand, see, we're destroyed for lack of understanding. When we just pray for the sick because they're sick, that can create emotions, sentiments, striving, works, frustration. Where are you, God? Because it hurts us when we see people sick. It's emotional, isn't it? You see somebody skin and bone and dying of cancer, and this thing, we call it compassion. A lot of times it's just human, you know what I mean? And it's not really attached to the forgiveness of sins. A lot of times it's just attached sometimes to promise books, and it's our covenant right and our privilege. But I think we need to humble ourselves and look at this, because not that we waive results, but I think we need to grow up into him in all things. When we look at how many things we've seen like this in our lives change versus how many it hasn't changed, then I gotta think about how I'm coming at it. Do you know what I'm saying? Because he said, if the things I do, you'll do if you believe. He ain't kidding. He ain't kidding. He said, if you lay hands on the sick, they're going to what? They're going to recover. And he said, if you believe, you will be laying hands on the sick if you're a believer. I mean, this is scriptural. But we've lost people. We've prayed for people and haven't seen them healed. Am I right? And then we get theological. We get stumbled. Sometimes we pull back. And it's not that we don't believe he does heal. But we got all these questions. Will he? When? Why? Might he not? And will he do it through me? The number one reason Christians personally, if they don't pray for the sick, personally don't pray for the sick, I've found, is they're afraid nothing will happen. But because they don't pray for the sick, guess what they always have? It's a paradox. So who are you protecting? Yourself, at the cost of the manifestation of him. So we're going to keep this real simple tonight. We're going to pray for the sick. It's going to be fun. And it's amazing what he does in a room like this. It's amazing how he comes and he heals and he restores. If we'll just keep it simple and get out of the way, and just because of who he is. Who's ever prayed for the sick in this room? Who's ever found this to be true? That when you pray for the sick, you put more emphasis and more focus on what you're about to pray, and you try to pray right, powerful, and anointed. Who knows that's true? If you've ever prayed for the sick, you know what I'm saying. And you get self-conscious in your prayer, and you're trying to pray the perfect prayer, the powerful prayer. And somewhere we got the idea that our prayer is what heals the sick. Well, I got good news for you. Your prayer has never healed the sick, and it never will. That's just good news. Be made whole. Be healed. It's probably plenty when there's a revelation. And you ain't got to cover all their generations and get words of knowledge and pray about all their forefathers. And 7 minutes in, you forget what you were about to pray for healing because you prayed for. Who knows? We've done all this stuff. So tonight we're going to keep it crazy simple. You watch and see what he does in this one room. There's no way to stop it because it's who he is. And he's just amazing. This past weekend, I watched a lady who couldn't hear just get her hearing back. Some little girl prayed for her for a few seconds, and she could hear the sound of sound, and her husband wept because he knew she couldn't. Just fun stuff. There was a lot of things. We'll just get our own tonight. I won't have to talk about last week. But here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to keep it so simple. And we're not going to change our mind. We're going to hold on, and we're going to watch what God does. Fair enough? So when you pray for the sick, you'll find two things, lots of sicknesses, but two specific things that I like to mention. You'll find people that if they were healed, there'd be no way to know right now in the moment. They're just talking to you. You're sitting on an airplane and they say, oh man, I get these terrible migraines. I thought I might have one today. I was so glad I woke up and didn't have it. It's going to hit me anytime. I'm on that time where it's going to be hitting me anytime. It's been happening for months. Do you ever hear that kind of conversation? But they don't have one now. They don't have any tension. They don't feel it coming on. They just expect it because it's been regular. And they're talking about it. As soon as you hear somebody talking like that, hey, I just got a test. Oh, wow, yeah. Or you're in a grocery line and the person right in front of you is telling the lady in front of her, I just came from my annual, from my gynecologist, and she said I got this tumor. I mean, I didn't even know it was there, but she's really concerned. Said it's growing here, growing there. But she said, I don't even feel it. I don't even have pain. I'm glad I went for my annual because I wouldn't even know it was in there. You ever hear stuff like that? Man, as soon as you hear that, you just tap them. The worst they can do is probably say no. I guess they could turn around and shoot you with a 9mm. I don't know. Probably not. And if they do, you're not going to die anyway. So ask them. Say, hey, I couldn't help but hear what you told that lady. Listen, that moved my heart. And I'm going to ask you something. And I say this. I say, please don't say no. I ask them to please don't say no before I ask them. And they almost, Marilyn, they almost never say no. I say, please don't say no. Can I just pray for you? Well, pray for me. Listen, do you think I'd ask you if I already knew nothing would happen? That's what I say to people. Do you think I'd ask you if I already knew nothing would happen? Can we please pray? And they usually go, okay. And I assure them it's going to be quick. Nobody will really know what we're doing. But he's good and he loves you. And you don't make a scene and you go, Father, I thank you now. In the name of Jesus. You're just sincere. And you understand it's in the finished work. And he loves that person whether they know him or not. And your goal right now isn't to get them saved. It's to give them an encounter. Maybe the most incredible encounter they've ever had with him. And then Holy Spirit just starts working. And you just pray. And you keep it simple. Father, I thank you for your amazing love for them. No more migraines. Tumor, you leave her body. When they look again, let them say, we're not even sure what to tell you, ma'am. And God, let her just know your love. Boom, in Jesus' name. Why? It's not your prayer. It's your faith in him. It's believing what he accomplished on that cross. And we carry that victory. We carry that. And we give it. That's why we lay hands on the sick. Because he does. I was in a healing service years ago, and a 4-year-old girl came up to me with her mother, and she had a paper, and she said, hi. And I said, hi, beautiful. She said, my mommy said I should give this to you. I was drawing it when you were praying. And I said, okay. I said, what is it? She said, well, it's what I saw. I said, it's what you saw. What did you see? And I took it, and I went, what? She traced her little 4-year-old hand on the paper. And then she freehand drew a hand around it, a big hand. And she said, this is what I saw. And I said, you saw that? She said, every time you laid your hands on them people, I saw a big hand right over top yours on them. 4 years old. And then you wonder why cancer leaves, and you wonder why ear pops open. It's not your prayer. It's him. And he just happens to love people. And he gave us this great honor of carrying that truth and believing that truth and keeping it that simple. Watch, and never letting that go. I lost my mother to sickness. I haven't changed my mind. We got to grow up into him in all things. I lost my brother in October. I'm not changing my mind. This book hasn't changed. The truth hasn't changed. It's what makes us free. And if I keep changing the truth, I'll never know freedom. I'm not going to let my experience dictate what I believe. Jesus is the revelation of the Father. And if he said, pray for the sick, believing, I'm going to keep on doing it. And I'm going to grow in whatever believing means, right? Because sometimes I'm sure I'm believing. But if Jesus touched him, we all know what would happen. So I'm not condemned. I'm inspired to grow. I'm inspired to know him more. I'm inspired to never let go. Are you with me? Because discouragement has to be self-centered. Frustration, complaining, letting your heart sink. Probably thinking of yourself, right? If my mama dies and now I can't pray for anybody else because my mama died, maybe I ought to pray for everybody's mama now. Are you with me? Let's do this real quick because it's 8:19. It'll be 9 before you know it. If you're sick in this house tonight and you were healed and you wouldn't know it, you'd have no way of knowing. Please participate. Don't you sit in your chair and not participate. Don't come this far with me tonight and then not. Jesus is in this room and he wants to teach and train us and empower us. If you have sickness in your body, there'd be no way to tell if you were healed because it's something that comes and goes. It's internal. It's in your blood. It's in a test. But it's not symptomatic and it's not right now. Except for just faith in your heart, you wouldn't know except just I believe. I need you to stand up. Stand to your feet real quick. If you have any condition in your body that there'd be no way to physically inventory you to tell if you were healed, you would just believe you're healed. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, stand to your feet quickly. 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 Don't make me wait, please. Don't make me go fishing. I'm a great fisherman, but don't make me have to. No, God's good to me with that stuff. He gives me discernment. I've been in services recently. He showed me people that weren't born again. He told me their sex and their age. Because they wouldn't stand up. You're a girl and you're 18. Why are you still sitting? Woo! No, it's beautiful. In fact, that one was a real recent one. You're a girl, you're 18, and your heart's about to beat out of your chest. You're afraid the people beside you see your shirt bouncing. Why are you still sitting in your chair? Woo! Thank you. Fun. Anybody else? You need to stand real quick. If you need to stand, jump up quickly, quickly, quickly. Okay. Thank you. If you're sitting real near them, sitting by them, just stand up, reach out, tap a shoulder lightly. Don't smother them. Don't violate them. Just make contact. Say, hey, can I have your hand? Hey, I'm just going to touch you lightly on the shoulder. Don't pray yet. Listen, don't pray yet. The people that stood up, I want you to do one thing tonight. Can you do one thing for me tonight and for yourself? I want you to just do one thing. I don't want you to clench your teeth and say you're trying to receive. I want you to very simply do this. Father, you have to love me or you'd have never sent your son. Case closed. You have to love me or you'd have never sent your son. Don't let what you're going through challenge his love. Let his love be settled by he sent his son. Because faith works through love. If we're trying to find love, we'll never be rooted and grounded in love. We already found it through Christ. So people standing, we're going to pray for you, and there's one reason. He loves you, or he'd have never crucified Jesus. The people praying right now, would you just say this over them? Be made whole in Jesus' name. No more symptoms, no more sickness, and no more weakness. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your love. Amen? Amen. Guys, that's how simple it is when you're out there. Please live this way. That's how simple it is. So you'll know at some point. Who would know in short time? Who would know over the course of short time that stood up if you were healed? Time would tell. Tests would tell, right? Send a testimony. Let somebody know. Send Harvest Chapel a testimony. Just say, I was there that night. They prayed for me. And they, at the end, I was that first group. Man, it's never come back. Just let somebody know. You can all sit down. So what's my second group? If that was my first group, what's my second group? You would know if you were healed. Is there anybody, before we all stand up, is there anybody that can't stand, that wants prayer, has a hard time standing, and it would be just better to stay seated while you get prayer, and you want prayer? See where he is, right here in the red? We're going to have somebody go to him in a minute. Anybody else? It'd be better just to stay seated. Oh, right here. Mary, right here in the second row. Paul, wave your hand like this up over Mary so people see where she's at. Y'all see where she's at? I want somebody to get to her in a minute. Don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. Everybody else that's in this room, don't think you're claiming sickness when you stand up. The Bible says, is any among you sick? Let them ask. You're not wearing it when you stand up. You're not claiming it. You're not putting it on your identity. You're saying, there's something in my body that's contrary to what he created, contrary to truth. I want you to stand and agree with me that it leaves. You're not claiming sickness when you ask for prayer. Let's get that settled in the church. Amen? So if you have sickness in your body, symptoms that if you were healed tonight, without exaggeration, without making anything up, who knows exaggeration is lying? You would know you were changed If that's you, stand to your feet. If you have something in your body that if you were healed, you would know it for sure if you took the time to check it out. Stand to your feet. I need everybody that fits this. Please don't stay in your chair if this meets your situation. Don't say, well, I was prayed for before, nothing ever changed, and I don't want to go through that. No, stand up. You didn't give us a chance in this simplicity. Come on, I'm waiting for some people. I'm waiting for some people. I got 8 people still sitting in their chair that have obvious arthritic symptoms, and you're still sitting in your chair, and you feel the arthritis somewhere in your body, and you're still sitting. I need 8 of you to get up. Come on. Come on. Who just responded to that? The arthritic one. I need my 8 people. Good. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I know I heard 8. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We'll even take bonus. Anybody else, please don't not stand up if you have any kind of physical, if you got knees that are degenerate, if you go up these steps and you can tell it, and it ain't like it used to be, and you got pain, don't just think it's too small. Is that you? Good. Yeah? Jump up. Jump up. Thank you. Why am I fishing? Why am I calling more people? We got plenty of people to pray for. Why am I waiting? Because this thing is real. And Jesus is about to move through this room through the blood and the power of his name and change bodies. And you ought to be standing. Amen. Please stand to your feet. There's somebody still sitting. You think it's too small, but you got pain in your right wrist. It bothers you. It's hard. Okay, we'll get you, but you were still sitting. You're still sitting. Jump to your feet. Who is that? Yeah? Good. Oh, I got 3 on that one. Come on. Oh, you can sit back down, man, because you're the one that, yeah. Sit back down. No, we got you. But that was you, Marilyn? You jumped up? Okay. And it's bothering you? Okay. Anybody else, don't say, man, I'm going to sit here and wait and see if he calls me, and then I'll get up. Stop. That's not cool. You should already be up because faith says, man, I believe he's a healer and he loves me. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. We got everybody? Okay, now here's what we're going to do. I need you to raise your hand, just one hand real high, so we don't lose you in a minute. Now, I didn't tell you all this. Some of you know what's coming. Some of you don't. The people sitting are my prayer team.
It's not anointed Dan Moeller. I'm sorry to tell you.
We're the body of Christ. The people sitting on my prayer team. If you're nervous when I said that, whoo, I want you on my team so bad. If you got nervous when I said that, I so want you on the roster. If you say, I've never done that before, all the more reason to jump up and get involved. Because we're only going to give you 5 to 6 seconds to pray, and I'm even going to help you to show you. So you can't do wrong unless you just don't get involved. There's no way to mess up tonight. You're not under any pressure. So I need you to jump up and go find somebody and be sweet and say, hey, I'm going to pray with you. Don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. Just go say, hey, you're mine. Hey, you're mine. When they get you, put your hand down. When they get you, put your hand down. Put your hand down when you're claimed. Go claim somebody, people. Go find somebody. If you're tucked in the middle and it's hard to get to, you might want to get out to where they can reach you. Put your hand down when we find you. Only leave your hand up if you're still waiting. I got 2 in the back waiting. I got 1 right here in the second row waiting. Can somebody come and stand with this dear lady right here? No, somebody available. Are you available? Right there in the second row. They'll point her out. Okay, and I got, are you guys waiting? Could you slide out in the aisle so people can get to you? I got 2 people right here. Just slide out in the aisle. They want to stand with you. They want to pray. Don't anybody pray yet. Don't anybody pray yet. We're going to do this as a family. And Jesus is going to teach us how simple this can be. Everybody claimed? Everybody covered? Good. Man, you guys did that great. Okay, now listen. In a minute, we're just going to give you a few seconds to pray. Right now, I just want you to take a few seconds. Tell them in the shortest version possible the reason you stood up. Tell the person praying for you why you stood up. Just give them a... My shoulder's all messed up. I can't rotate it. I can't lift it. My knees are out of whack. My back, I got a herniated disc. Whatever it is, whatever it is, just tell them 3 seconds or so. They should know. Everybody know? Y'all know? All right, when you know, just look up here. We're going to keep rolling. The reason I did that is Matthew 17. Matthew 17, Jesus said, faith will say to the mountain what? And the mountain of what? And nothing, watch this. And nothing, you think he would say God, but watch what he says. And nothing will be impossible for you. So tonight we're going to say to the mountain. So if they told you, hey, I'm one of them that stood up with the arthritic symptoms, watch what we're going to do here in a second. You're going to say something simple like this from the heart because you believe God loves the person. Who believes God loves the person you're praying for? You know the evidence we have? He sent his son. Yeah? That's a big deal, guys. So watch this. So see, we're going to live in him. So we're not going to be self-conscious. We're not under the pressure to produce healing. He paid for it. So here's what we're going to do. Arthritis, you leave their body. Every pain, every stiffness, in Jesus' name. Who knows you can do that in 5-6 seconds and be sincere? Right? Herniated disc, you leave their body, no more pain, in Jesus' name. Who knows you can do that in 4 or 5 seconds and be sincere? Vertebrae, you be aligned. Scoliosis, you leave. Tumor, you diminish. Eyes, you see. Who knows we can do this in seconds and be sincere because of his finished work? Are you with me? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do that. When you pray for the sick, I see 3 things in my life. Because I'm growing. We're all growing. Let's get in this thing and never back off. Watch. I see people instantly healed. I see people change, somewhat healed. I've seen it in the streets. I say, man, I'm like 50% better. And they're all excited. And you're like, that's awesome. And they're trying to convince you. And I'm like, look, no, I believe you. I just want to see you completely well. Let's just pray again. So we're praying. And then I've seen the thing that we're all afraid of. But see, that's the problem. The fact that we're all afraid of this because we see it as the truth. So I see things where I'll pray and nothing changed. I walked up to a lady in Walmart and it was a situation I've never seen not healed in my whole life. And I was riding that momentum and I prayed for her and it just sat there and looked at me and didn't change. Oh, I was so bugged. And for a whole month, I was feeling like I didn't get it. And I bumped into her a month later. She ran over to me and said, hi, do you remember me? I said, did I pray for you? Over at Walmart. Remember? I said, oh, I remember you. She said she woke up the next morning and never had the situation and it never came back since. And for the whole month, I'm believing she didn't get healed. Now, here's the thing we need to do tonight to realize that Christians never let go. They never change their mind. You watch and see what happens in this room tonight. If they pray for you and nothing changes, don't you disconnect. Don't you say, well, see, other people are getting healed. I got to be doing something wrong. Something's got to be blocking my healing. Let him be the head tonight. You just be the body. Watch. You listen to a testimony. You listen to another one. You listen to another one. And as you listen to the testimonies, you thank him he's a healer. You thank him he loves people. And you thank him he loves you. And you just check your body. And you listen to a testimony and you just check your body. And I call it this. I say, did you ever put popcorn in a microwave? Of course you did. It's amazing, right? I love microwave popcorn, man. But it starts to get hot and the bag starts puffing just a little. And then you hear, what do you hear? Doom. It's usually doom. But after the first 4, then it starts getting pretty wild, don't it? Pop, 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 pop. And I say, like popcorn in a bag. We're going to see things keep changing here tonight. You know why? We're not going to pull the plug on faith. We're not going to pull the plug on him. Whether you get healed instantly, somewhat changed, or don't feel any change, we're going to listen to a few testimonies and continue to believe he's the healer. And continue to, with thanksgiving, believe he's good and he loves us. And you watch what happens in our bodies. Some of you will be standing there listening to testimony and you'll realize your body changed. I just did this last week. It was beautiful. I think I saw 15 or 20 people while testimonies were going on. They'd be standing there and they'd go, oh, hey! I saw spouses cry last week because they watched their spouse do things they know their spouse couldn't do. This boy said, when my dad did that, it took my breath. Because I've never seen my dad do that. But you bring Jesus in the room and things change. You all ready for that kind of love? Would you acknowledge in your heart right now that He loves you? Because He sent His Son. That's how you can be sure. I'm going to give you 5-6 seconds to pray. Be specific. Speak to the mountain. I'm going to say, okay, wrap it up. You wind it down in Jesus' name. It's not like when I say wind it up, you got to go silent. Just wind it down. It's so nobody tries too hard. No, that's works. If you're putting your faith in your prayer, it's works. It's one of the main reasons the Lord showed me nothing happens even when we're sincere. Because we think it's our prayer. And it's always Him. It's always Him. He's the Lord. Look at that person right now like they're really worth something. Look at them like with warm eyes or something, whatever. No, y'all ready? Y'all ready? After they're done, you take your time. You take your time and check your bodies. And when you know you're healed, I'll be instructing you. You got to let me know when you know. Worship team, do what you're doing, but don't amp it up in a minute here. Okay, just stay sweet. I usually don't have any worship team play when I do this. I just love these guys, my home church. They ain't hurting a thing. There's a reason I do that. I have nobody, because you don't have a worship team when you're in a parking lot. And we're not trying to create atmosphere. That's why I didn't want them to ramp up when we all pray. We should already be ramped up in our faith. Jesus is Lord. You watch and see what He does in this room. Are you ready? 5-6 seconds. Give your person the kingdom of God. Pray, speak to the mountain. Go right now. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay, start to wind that down. Start to wind that down right now. Yep, just wrap it up. That's plenty. We could speak to it in that time. Thank you, Father. I didn't pray over top y'all for in purpose. Now take your time. Start checking your body. Some people know when they know, they know. Make sure you know, though. Don't be rash. Don't just say, oh, yeah, and then say, oh, maybe not. You know for sure? Good. She already knows. Anybody else know they're healed? Check your bodies. You know for sure? Absolutely. Good girl. That's awesome. Anybody else know? I need you to wave your hand. You know you're healed? Good. You know it right there? Yay, you look happy. I like that. Yeah, anyway, you know for sure you're healed. Beautiful. We're going to take a couple testimonies. I'm giving time. Keep checking your bodies. Check your bodies. Check your bodies all through this place. Anybody else know they're healed? I need you to go like this so I know you're healed. Is that you? You back there? Yeah? Good, good. Right here? Right here? Here? Man, this is getting to be a lot of folks. Right here too? Oh. This is like a hot section right here, huh? Yeah? Look at that smile on you, girl. You know your body's different? You know it for sure. Oh, that blesses my heart. Anybody else? Anybody else? You're being changed and you know you're healed. Marilyn, your wrist? Thank you, Lord. Were you changed? Or are you just worshiping? Your body's healed? Whew, I thought you see, you just a worshiper. I can tell. I thought you were just Jesus. You changed too? Oh my goodness, that's good. That's really touching you, isn't it? Like you know it's changed. Oh, that bless. When people's looking at me crying, going. Anybody else while we're checking? You changed? You know it for sure. Oh, back there? Yeah? Yeah? Did that just change just now? Man, that's good. See? It's just happening. Anybody else? Anybody else? You know you're healed for sure. This is beautiful. Yeah? Yeah? This is the longest I've waited to give a testimony because people just keep saying, Paul, you're healed? What was it? What happened? You can breathe? You know it's changed. You know it's different. That's my father-in-law. That's cool. Woo! He's happy because his son-in-law loves Jesus and takes good care of his daughter. So he loves me. Your daddy said he can breathe. Said he doesn't feel any restriction. And he's breathing really good. And he looks excited. He came here on Easter a few years ago, and whatever you preached changed him, gave him liberty. Anybody else that didn't raise their hand yet, you're realizing you're healed? The whole bunch of you raised your hand, so I want a couple testimonies, but we got to find some things out first. Is there anybody else you know you're healed that you didn't raise your hand yet? Do this for me. Please listen. I know there's a lot going on. It's late, but do this. If you know you were healed and you've already raised your hand, all together, so I see where you're at and we can see how God's moving. All together, I want you to raise your hand at one time. Start waving your hands. If you know you're healed, raise your hands. If you know you're healed, all at one time. Everybody that knows they're healed, keep them up. Do it. Come on, join me. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. All right, let me ask you this question. Put your hands down. Who here feels somewhat changed? You're better. You just didn't testify because it's not 100%, but it's better. Let me see your hands. Come on, this is a lot of movement. This is good. God, this is good. Give me like three testimonies of people that were healed. Who wants to share what happened? Would you? Yeah, you touched my heart. For some reason, I looked at you, I got, my heart just felt happy. Can we get her a mic, or should she just shout it out? You can run it to her, can you, Matt? You can stay back here, honey. He's coming.
So in April, I had a bad fall, and I fractured my ribs, but they were healed last month at Global Awakening.
Okay.
And I never took care of my pinky. My pinky was fractured, and I couldn't move it when I came here.
Oh, wow.
And no, you couldn't move it at all?
No, I couldn't grip.
It was froze, and it wouldn't bend.
Yeah, it wouldn't bend.
It's just total use.
Yeah. And then I've had a lump here, and it was really tender, and there's no pain.
Come on.
It's gone.
Yeah.
God, we worship you. Yeah. That's beautiful. I could just see she was sincerely touched, and... Did you want to share? Is that why you're here?
6 weeks ago, I fell. Ended up with a concussion and a really bad injury in my hip. I walked in here this evening. I had a lot of pain. It's all gone.
You have no pain?
I have no pain. None at all. None at all.
Look at her smile. Stretch your hands to her right now, please. Father, we just thank you, not one more effect of that fall, that it would never be found in one part of her flesh or body, not in one situation, that, Lord, there'd be complete wholeness through and through, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, just complete wholeness because you love her. In the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Somebody else, one more testimony. If you're somewhat healed, tap your person and say, hey, let's thank God for the 60%, but let's believe for the other 40. And just go ahead and pray. Testimony?
Well, my shoulder was bothering me because every time I laid on it at night, and then my family would pray for me and they'd go away during the day, wake up in the morning, it's there again, kind of thing. And then, so anyways, before we even prayed, I felt movement before we even started.
Okay.
Prayer. So I just wanted
to help us understand, what would that have been like before you got prayer?
It's
was it
tight.
Hard to...
It was tight on my...
So just easy to feel and know that something wasn't right.
It's gone. Like it
is it completely gone?
Yeah.
Completely.
Yep. Completely gone.
Father, thank you. It'll never come back. Amen?
Yep.
Amen. Let me take one more. One more testimony of somebody that was healed. Would you share it? Young man way back there wants to testify. Man, that's pretty cool. Putting you to work, Matt.
About 3 months ago. Sorry.
No, it's all good. Take your time. It's important. You raised your hand.
I just love Jesus. Me and my wife were getting ready to go on our honeymoon. It got delayed 2 years because of COVID. And we got married right in the middle of COVID. But we finally got to take our honeymoon. But I broke my foot the day before we left. And fractured my foot, but we still went. We still had a great time in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But the foot has just not been healing in the natural.
Okay.
And it's been swelling, and it just won't heal. And the doctor said, oh, well, you know, by 3 months, you'll be running and jumping. And, you know, the doctors don't know it all, you know. But tonight they prayed for me, and my foot, I took off my shoe, I walked around, I put my shoe back on, there's no swelling, and I was able to walk. And
come on, Jesus.
I was going to tell you, Dan, that the girl that had the vision of the hand is my sister-in-law.
And she's watching
tonight. Yeah. That's my wife's sister.
Oh, my goodness.
Leah, she's watching. God's bringing her out of a dark place through what's going on tonight. So.
Amen. Look. Thanks for sharing. Guys, do you realize that you, just sincerely prayed a 5-6 second prayer, believing He loves people and that His finished work is enough? I didn't let us pray our own prayer. I just limited it on purpose so we don't get into works, so we don't feel self-conscious, so we're not trying so hard. It's usually not heart that we're lacking. It's just understanding. I think sometimes we have tons of heart, but it comes in an avenue that's a lot more just sentimental and striving and, oh, God. But I'm telling you what, a lot of things just happen in 5-6 seconds from the body of Christ believing the love of God for people. Amen? Amen. So let me ask you this, and we'll do this in closing. This is my last group I didn't address yet, and I always address it because it's important, because it doesn't get addressed in a lot of healing services. Is there anybody standing here, and don't feel embarrassed or shame, because that's crazy how we're tending to feel like something's wrong with us if nothing changed in our body. Is there anybody here, your body's still the same? You've been prayed for, you've been listening to testimonies, and you've been checking, but it's just the same. Leave your hand up so I can see where you're at. Is your person still here? You're not getting another person. Yeah, your person is plenty. Is your person still here? Go to your person. If that's them with their hand up, go to your person. When you get there, put your hand down so I know you're all covered. Is your person still here, my friend? Do you know where they're at, or did they bail on you? Somebody want to go stand with this man? He's left all alone. Y'all, somebody got you? Everybody got your person? This is only the group where nothing changed, okay? Nothing changed in this last group. Let me see your hands again so we know where you're at and how many we got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, roughly. Y'all have your person with you? Now watch this. Listen carefully. I want you to pray again for 5-6 more seconds. Listen carefully. Do not change your prayer. The best you understand, pray the same thing you believed the first time. Don't change your prayer. Just keep it the same, because what you believed is enough. Don't add to it. Don't change it. Don't try to make it more spiritual. What you believed that first time, I'm telling you, it's enough. We're just not going to change our minds. Tonight, God's going to teach us to never let go, church. I've seen so many things happen because people won't let go. We got to teach people how to not let go. How to not leave a service and say, man, I don't know why God didn't do it for me. I got to be doing something wrong. No, Father, thank you for what you're doing in me. You are such a healer. You sure showed me tonight. Your love for me is amazing. That's where we all got to live. Agreed? But He's going to teach us. You watch what happens in these 13 people. We're going to pray one more time. Same people, 5 more seconds. You ready? Go ahead. Give them 5-6 seconds of sincere faith and pray the same thing you prayed the first time. In Jesus' name. God, you're good. That's good. That's plenty. Just start wrapping that up right now. Just wrap that up right now. Hey, guys, you people standing getting prayer? Why are we receiving? Because He loves us. Why does He love us? He crucified His Son. Thank Him right now for loving you. Be personal. Just in your heart. Thanks for loving me. I'm going to check my body now because I believe you love me. Begin to check your bodies right now all over this place, the 13 or so people. Check your bodies for me. Don't make anything up. Don't try to make the person praying for you feel better. That's called not good. Check your bodies. Just my last group. Has anything changed in any of my last group? Anything changed? Anything gotten better? Anything got shifted? Anything different? Somewhat? Little better. 30% or something? Huh? 20-30. Okay. That's good. That's movement. Anybody else? Anything change? Anything get any better? Anything happen? Anything change? I'm just talking to my last group. Something? Just a little bit? Small. But without exaggeration, it's just something different than it was. Good. Anybody else? Checking your bodies, checking your bodies, checking your bodies. Check them out. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just talking to my last group. This is the stuff people, even when they think, you know, we're so quick to call everything a healing ministry and stuff. Guys, that's the body of Christ. A healing ministry is the body of Christ. But people in healing ministry don't want to address this. When they don't want to bring it up, it almost feels like it's uncomfortable. It's not uncomfortable. We have to actually protect people that are in faith, believing God loves them and is moving. Right? So that's what we're doing here. Is there anybody else in my last group that you noticed any change? I had two that got small change. Got small change. She raised her hand. She just... Oh, yeah. Anybody else? I'm just one more chance real quick to let me know. I just don't want to miss anything. Okay, now here's what you do. If you were prayed for tonight and nothing changed, here's what you do. And it's what every Christian always does all the time. Something change a little bit? No? Okay. You're just praising the Lord? Yeah. Something change a little bit? You feeling changed? Okay. 50? And nothing happened up until right there. Okay, good. No, that's just how Jesus teaches. Why? We're not letting go. We're not changing our minds. So you're never risking being prayed for and believing. Because believe means believe and continue to believe. So here's what we're doing. It's the only response a Christian ever has, I'm convinced. Father, thank you that you love me, and thank you for what you're doing in my life. Because you love me, I appreciate you making me whole. You crawl in bed, that hip grabs you like it did every other night. You don't roll over and say, oh man, I was hoping tonight would be the night. I don't know why you're not healing me. As soon as it grabs you, Father, I thank you for your unstoppable love. And I appreciate what you're doing in my life. And thank you for what you're doing in my body. I promise you, that's how that hip will change. Christians, never let go. The people that were somewhat healed, for some reason, that seems easier for us. We're like, okay, we're somewhat healed. Then other people say, man, I don't know why. I only got 50% anointing. People praying, I'm only walking in 60% anointing. No, you're not. Stop. You thank God for what he's doing. And you let that build. Amen? Amen. So you think with me tonight. 5 seconds, the body of Christ prayed and released faith to encourage everyone, not to show off nothing else, to encourage everyone. If you were healed or somewhat healed tonight, stand up and wave your hand all at the same time. If you know you were healed or somewhat healed tonight, all at the same time so that people can see what happens when we start believing. Yeah? So I'm just about done. I'm going to ask you to do this with me, even if you don't understand. It's just a sign of yielding and surrendering. Would you please with me just lift your hands this way towards Jesus? Don't be uncomfortable with that. Let's just yield to him. Let's just be clay. Father, have your way in us. Let the same mind that was also in Christ be found in us. You've got an army here, Lord. Continue to raise her up. Continue to empower her in 25 and even 40 years from now. Those of us that are still here, let us be running well. Let us be excited about you. Let us be carrying a legacy and a heritage in the Lord. Father, I pray strength in this body. I pray tenacity into this body. I pray a no quit, no nonsense attitude in this house. That, Lord God, this is a house that says we are set on running a race by grace worthy of a prize. Your life in us matters. Our life in you matters. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Bless you. Whoever wants to.